Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Fightful. Here we are ready to chat about a backlash in what was a fast, very, very energetic show. But we're going to be hearing from today from Grap Sado. We got myself, Denise, Phil Lindsay, and Righteous Reg in the house. Man, first of all, guys, how are we doing? Phil, how are you?
I am great. I am well rested, unlike yesterday, so we're good. En français, quoi de neuf?
Whoa!
Oh, damn, Phil! I didn't know you had that in you.
I took a lot of French in high school. I dated someone who spoke a lot of French, so.
Oh wow! We're discovering things on this show, Denise.
Wait, what else do you know how to say, Phil?
Don't put me on the spot. Like, I don't know. Like, it's more like conversational. Like, if in middle of conversation, I could think of something. But
no,
it's
he
like,
had it loaded up, Denise. Thanks for that.
I'm sorry. I thought he had more. He said he.
I probably
a
had
girl.
More, but it's just like mostly conversational. It's just like, hey, say something French, and it's just like, I don't know. You could just say something random in French. Like what I said was just "what's up." It's quite enough.
So say it again.
Quite enough. It's just "what's up."
Quite enough. Well, it sounds good. Quad an F. We'll take
quad
it.
Quad an F.
Reg, where's your French?
Come on, Denise.
What is this Le Petit Canard?
Come on, Reg.
Le Petit Canard. The little duck. Why?
You guys watch way too Le much Petit of this Canard show. Everybody's French now coming into this.
Come on, man. Omelette de fromage.
What's going on here?
I can't contribute
anything. That's the Dexter's Lab reference.
Okay, so no French, Reg. You're letting us down.
Denise.
Come on now, baklé. Oh, I think I got something. Baklé-vous, anglais?
No,
excusez-moi, baklé-vous? No? Okay, sorry. No. I tried. Bonjour, that's all I've got. All right, guys, we're done with the French. I was the only one that came in here with some culture, bringing in some French in the house, you know?
Parlez-vous français, n'est-ce pas?
See, now he's just showing off.
Yeah, no, all right.
No, but seriously, guys, we had some really, a really good time. At least I know I did with this crowd today. That was very, very lively. And the show pretty much flew by. We only had a handful of matches. And by the time we got to the main event, I think we were like 2 hours and like 20 minutes in by the time that it started. And I'm like, oh, snap, like it's already time for the main event. But right. I want to kick things off with just like overall thoughts on how you guys felt about the show in terms of how it ended up playing out. Reg, we'll get started with you.
Denise, this show was all about that crowd. Like, just every match was enhanced by the crowd. Every match was taken to a different level just by the chants, just by the crowd doing their two count chant or whatever they were doing. I was just like, this is insane. And every time they have like these PLEs overseas, I'm like, why does WWE downplay themselves when they announce? It's like, there's 11,000 people. I'm like, dude, they do more than that for regular SmackDowns. Why weren't they in like a 20,000 seat venue? And then they announced this is the largest gate ever. And I'm like, oh, they got their money regardless. But I thought this show was led by the crowd. It made it so much better. And got to have more PLEs overseas, honestly.
Yeah, we really do. That's how I feel as well. Phil, what'd you think of the show?
Yeah, I think Backlash for a long time had become like the retread pay-per-view, even when they tried to do that WrestleMania Backlash thing for a while, where it was just like basically just the WrestleMania rematches. But I think doing it overseas and making it like the overseas show after WrestleMania is the way to go. I think it makes it stand out. I think it kind of elevates it past just being a B show. And yeah, the crowd was amazing. Whatever, like a bunch of their chants, every time someone said phenomenal, they start singing a song for AJ. Was it the Sample Mon Dieu that they kept hitting after? That was the chant.
You hit it perfectly, Phil. You were like, oh yeah, I don't got any more French. And then now you're just hitting French in every sentence.
Back to back.
Okay, so when they were doing the near falls, they were just chanting Sample Mon Dieu, which is just simply two.
What was the chant when it sounded like they were chanting for Hoochie Cheryl?
Dude, I was thinking that, but it was for the announcer. It was for the announcer. I thought the exact same thing, but yeah, it was for the announcer, for the French announcer.
Gotcha. I'm caught up now.
That was his name. It was his name.
His name is Hoochie Cheryl?
Well, it sounds like
no. Hoochie Cheryl. I don't think that it was. It was.
But yeah, it was his name, right? Like, I'm not wrong here, am I?
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were chanting his name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just making sure I understood that. All right. Well, let's get into some of these super chats and humper chats. Of course, you guys are more than welcome to come support. Get your French on in here. Here we go. Let's bring in kicking things off with the first super chat from Jonathan Corona, who says, all I'm saying, Americans need to follow European fans. And plus, they still have Bash at Berlin and Clash at the Castle. Damn chills. Dude. Ain't no way we're going to follow those crowds. I'm sorry, but we don't have the endurance for that.
I'm from a wrestling city. I'm not taking this all of a sudden because they sing to you guys. Our crowds are not great. Sorry. I ain't hearing the slander. Chicago crowds are always lit. I ain't trying that.
Denise and I have been in some trash crowds over here in the West Coast.
Las Vegas.
We don't have a dog in this fight, I think.
No. I was actually really embarrassed when AEW did Dynamite in Los Angeles, and we were like not reacting to things. And I'm like, God, shame. We're that tired? And then Reg, we talk about the Las Vegas crowd for Double or Nothing last year or the year before that. I forgot what year it was. So bad. And that's like kind of embarrassing. You don't want to be in those kinds of crowds. I want to be like in a fun crowd.
Can we get in one of those? It feels like every show we go to, we're tired, it's cold, we're complaining. I'm like, we are just entitled Americans.
Honestly, yeah, we're just entitled, really. We got Call Me Crazy here, who says that crowd was amazing and the matches were great. 10 out of 10 pay-per-view, and it's the only first one in the new era of WWE. I need a WrestleMania in France now. We're probably going to be finding out the WrestleMania location probably in the next couple of minutes, since they're going to be announcing it on the Kentucky Derby. Everyone is expecting for it to be Las Vegas. Ooh, and I just said the Las Vegas crowd was bad. Yikes.
That's y'all king? Vegas is y'all king? That's where y'all went at us?
Whoa, that's how you bring it back around as you announce that. We're going to be there. No, it's going to be different. There's different energy. WrestleMania. All right. Okay.
Okay, you know what? For sure. This time we're going to make sure we're going to be leading our section, okay? Whatever section we're in, we're going to make sure to lead it and start some chants, all right?
Hoochie Cheryl. It's going to be great.
All right. We got Jonathan Corona here who says, don't forget WrestleMania announcement coming. Exactly. We got this one is a little bit off topic, but we might as well get to it now. This is from our Do It who says, I'm sure Backlash was awesome, but Reg and Phil, you know what this is for. Any thoughts on last night's show?
Buddy.
Or last night's slow night. Yeah.
I was just telling Reg the story before we popped on that I fell asleep during SmackDown. Very long day yesterday. And so I woke up around midnight and I was like, oh, there's a Drake record. And so I'm listening to the Drake record. He has like the video out with him crushing the Good Kid, Mad City van. Very clever. Some dope lines in there. I was like, oh, okay, we're here. And while I was watching it, I was like, oh, wait, there's a Kendrick record out. And then I listened to it. I was like, oh, it's over for Drake, bro. Mm-hmm. It's a wrap. No, you can't respond to that. When somebody is that diabolical, puts out the 616 record before that and then zooms out and shows you everything that is apparently from his dad's suitcase. No, you can't mess with that guy.
When you're listening to a diss track and your jaws just dropped, you're just like, what is this? That's like, it has been accomplished. Drake, wrap it up. This isn't it. Unless you got something next track, you got to go directly at this guy. That's the only way. I am overwhelmed by hip hop beef, and it's great. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. All I got to say is go Kendrick Lamar because he did the 616 song with Jack Antonoff, who is literally Taylor Swift's best friend and works with her like on all of her music. And so I did not appreciate the disrespect that Drake has given to Taylor. So I'm over here.
No, he was giving Kendrick. It up though. He was giving it up.
He's been super disrespectful to her like for like the last couple of months, even more than that, honestly. So Swifties. That's why this whole time.
How is he disrespectful though? I feel like he's been like,
he's kind of alluded to her in some lyrics. And then also like a couple months ago, she was like number one on the top 100 on the Billboard, and he put an Instagram story and he was number two. He crossed her out, literally crossed her out. And I was like, oh, hells no. And all the Swifties were ready to throw it down. We're like, nope, you don't do that to Taylor Swift. You don't try to, you know, disregard her accomplishments.
I thought he was like, nah, I don't drop when she drops because like, you can't compete with her. Like he said that more than once. So I thought he was giving it up. I don't know. But regardless, nah, you can't come. And I do think he's going to respond. There's no way that Drake does not respond, but I don't think this is what he wants with this guy, man. Like, this is the first diss track I've listened to in a while, and I sat back and I was like, maybe we went too far with this, man. Like, I definitely was like, hey, man, maybe Cole was right, man. Let that man go and enjoy making his album with his kid and his wife, and let him enjoy his life, man. Like,
All right. Well, speaking of enjoying life, let's go ahead and get right into the show. We're going to go in a nice chronological format because I think that's probably what's going to work best for this show. And we're going to kick things off in a very hot fashion because they kicked this off very, very well today on Backlash. We had Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. This became a street fight. And damn, we got a bunch of violence. But the big news coming out of this is that Tonga Loa came back to the WWE and is now, you know, aligned himself on screen, of course, you know, with his family. He's with the bloodline. And everybody was expecting Jacob Fatu, of course, but where's I don't Jacob? Think people right and they're saving where's him. Jacob? They're not trying to blow their load yet, Reg. Give him a second. But Tonga, so basically, like, this was a pretty exciting way to kick things off because it started with a lot of energy. And to me, I felt that they were like rewarding the crowd by kicking things off the way that they did because it made it feel like anything can happen on this show. But Phil, we'll start with you. How did you feel about this opening match?
I thought it was great. I was wondering where they were going when they started with the brawl right away. Then it got turned into a street fight. Kevin Owens is amazing. I feel like this is usually where he thrives in this kind of energy with this kind of crowd. He had all the big spots that were fun. We got Tongaloa popping up that looked a lot like his dad. I don't know if that was just tonight. I was like, boy, this guy looks a lot like Haku.
I love that. Reg, what'd you think?
Denise, I actually want to know your thoughts on this, because last time Tongaloa was here, he was Mexican, and now he's a part of the bloodline. So I want to know how you feel as a Mexican that he's not representing for the culture anymore, and he's not a Cholo.
So it's funny because right away I put that out there, and a lot of people did not know that. Like, a lot of people were like, I learned this today. And so it's really hilarious because, and I kind of battled a little bit with the way that I was going to put that tweet out, because I put like, oh, I guess he's no longer a Cholo. But originally I was going to put, is he done being Mexican? Then I was like, I know people are going to basically say like, oh, he was never saying that he was Mexican. But I'm like, bro, you were coming out as a Cholo and you guys had like the Mexican flag and everything. Like, everybody assumed that you were portraying a Mexican. And I thought this was funny as all hell, because when you think about it, like, that's what WWE does. Like, they look at someone and they're like, oh, you can pass for this, so this is what you're going to be. And we've seen them do this so many times. So like, part of me was like dying, because I'm like, oh, I guess Tongaloa is done with his Mexican era and he's moving on. He's ditching his roots.
That's what the game is like. We're just supposed to forget about that. And it worked anyways. Only reason like the new people knew is because everybody was like, remember this back then. I thought this was a super hot way to start the show. Getting Kevin Owens in a street fight, that's always works. Soon as they got into the crowd, the crowd was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're so close to Randy Orton. I can't believe we're so close to this. We want tables. I usually hate that, but today I was like, bring out the tables. I want to. It was like everything that they were doing. I was like, yo, it just good pacing, good timing, good everything. I thought the debut of Tongaloa really hit this new bloodline. Yo, looking good. Solo Sikoa being the leader, getting Solo into that role. I think that he's taking a really good position there. Like, he feels, for a while, I was like, I don't know about Solo, man. After the John Cena stuff, I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we need to send Solo back down somewhere. But he's been working
back down
out
somewhere.
You know, the NXT could use him, but no,
there's
he's
only
been
one
working.
Place. It's NXT.
He's been working out a lot better since he's became this de facto leader of the bloodline. And I like everything that they're doing.
No, and they fit in very well here. Like, I think this is one of the situations, right? Whenever you see someone or you hear someone's contracts going up, and you're like, oh, are they going to go to AEW? Are they going to go to this place? Are they going to re-sign with the company? I think this is a situation where GOD really just fits in perfectly with WWE. Even if they didn't have this bloodline storyline going on, regardless, they fit better in WWE. And of course, the stars aligned with this whole entire program that they're doing, and it just ended up working out even perfect, like more perfect. But, you know, I feel like they've done a pretty damn good job of keeping this bloodline story feeling hot and feeling entertaining, especially given that Roman Reigns is not there right now. And he's such a big focal point in all of this. But I mean, this was so cool. I loved like all of the freaking shots with the trash bin for some reason today just looked like they hit harder.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. SmackDown's tag division is all of a sudden hidden. Like, all of the tag teams they got over there, and now you add.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
G-O-D to it. Excited to see what those do. What they do with those belts. Very pretty looking belts as well.
We got Jonathan Corona here who says, man, oh man, Camacho is back in WWE. My Theo, bro.
My Theo.
My Theo.
Every time you say something about Camacho, I just think of Dave Chappelle saying, trying to find a Mexican. Trying to find a Mexican.
I love it. We got Ryan Lambert here who says this pay-per-view needed House of Torture member Evil.
No, it did not. No. I had to suffer through a New Japan pay-per-view with plenty of House of Torture shenanigans.
Stop now, it. Michael Cole be getting into his cage match reading off ratings bags, and I'm not mad at it. I like Michael Cole being like, oh, he's also a four-time neverweight champion. It's like, all right, that's cool.
I like that because before they didn't, they would just like disregard all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just feel like a nerd every time he does that Bullet Club thing. I'm like, Cody was never leader of Bullet Club. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. He was not the leader.
We got Jared here who says Joaquin Wilde isn't Latino either, so it tracks. Yeah, that's another one there too. And we just accept it. We're just like, oh, whatever.
He's
at this point. Yeah, at this point, we're taking what we can get, man. All right. We only got so many options. We're taking anyone who's willing to claim it.
Slippery slopes. Slippery slopes.
We got Apex Caliber here says, so Paul knows Rock's the tribal chief of this bloodline, excuse me. I don't know. Who do you guys acknowledge right now as a tribal chief? What are we thinking here?
It's still Roman. There's somebody in the front with that big sign up that said, not my tribal chief. It's still Roman. I do think it's funny that Solo went and recruited a guy that was on Twitter taking shots at him a few years ago. And every time I see it, I'm like, oh no, Roman might not be happy when he shows back up and sees Tama Tonga there.
What did you guys feel about afterwards, right before Jay's match? They did that little walk by of Jay acknowledging him. Cause I'm on the side of get Jay back with his brother fast as the sun could move. You know what I mean? But I thought that was a little, they're teasing stuff, right?
They definitely are. And it's one of those things for me that hit the most was when Paul Heyman had that little look. That look said it all. That look said, I know things are not the same. They are not the same from the last time you and I were on the same side. Like, I read so much into what Paul Heyman didn't say, but I felt that he said all of these things just like with his face. Like, dude looks stressed out.
Right.
Yeah, my takeaway from it is, dude, what are you doing? That's your spot. You were second in command. If Roman is not here, that's your spot. Why are you letting him do this?
We got Will Chisholm here who says Triple H finally got his wish. He's been trying to get G-O-D for like 10 years.
a little late, but I'm still interested in the prospect of G-O-D versus Usos. I think that could be a good match.
That's actually a super chat we got from Jonathan Contreras who says Tongaloa was a shock. G.O.D. versus Usos is gonna be great. And I agree with Reg. I am ready to see the Usos back together. And that's the thing. And you know what? I'm gonna go into it now. I know we were gonna get into everything in order, but I might as well tie this in because we had the World Heavyweight Championship match with Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. I was watching this match thinking one of two things was going to happen. Part of me, given how like hyped and crazy the crowd was for Jey Uso, it felt like he was having his own personal concert at one point. I thought like, okay, either Jacob Fatu is going to come in here and cost this match for Jey Uso, and it's going to bring Jey Uso back into this program with the bloodline, or we're actually going to see Jey Uso win here. And I know that would have sucked for Damian Priest, but given just how hot the crowd was for Jey Uso, it just felt like something other than the predictable had to happen. And it didn't. Instead, the predictable happened. And we ended up seeing Damian Priest retain his World Heavyweight Championship. And the only involvement outside interference that we got was from the Judgment Day. So I'll kick things off with Reg. Reg, what'd you think of this match?
I've seen better. No, I knew coming into this show what this match was going to be, and it was this match. Like I said, Jey needs to be back with his brother. He's just not a big match one-on-one wrestler. I'm sorry, Jey. I'm a big fan. I think as a tag team wrestler, incredible, one of the best ever. But as like a big match one-on-one guy, not really feeling it. I thought it was a little bit overbooked with the Judgment Day stuff. I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to tease the split, which is that good? I don't really know if I even think that's good. But I thought this was not even great Raw main event. Damian Priest as World Heavyweight Champion is going to need to pick up some slack and do something extra to make this reign worth something. Because if it's starting like this, I'm worried.
I'm worried too, bro. We haven't even gotten a super chat on this one. Everybody's talking about everything on this show except this match. That should tell you everything. People are like, we don't even care. Like, what the hell happened in this match? But it was like, I know, like at one point where we thought that Jey Uso had it, right? And JD McDonagh comes in and he puts the leg up for Damian Priest. I was like, oh, this sucks so bad. But like the finish to me felt so flat.
It was flat.
Phil, what'd you think?
My only takeaway from all of this is that I hope this is leading to Finn Balor winning that belt. Because other than that, I've been like, all right. Because I don't feel like they've got any like long-term plans for Damian. It's not like he did anything wrong coming into this. I thought he was fine in this match. I don't like how they pace the Jey matches anymore. Yes. It's like, hey, set up for him to do his chance, and you gotta slow walk the dog so he can get these like one punches in so the crowd can get their yeet chance in. And it's just like, this is just not for me. But man, what a cool optic, him coming in through the crowd. Sick. And you know, everybody's waving their hands, everybody's singing the song, everybody doing the Jey chance. All of that was dope. Then the match started and I was like, this is grinding to a halt. One of the biggest pops of the night for me was JD McDonagh appearing, and he's like, are you serious? What do you mean? And then and he looks at him, he's like, what do you mean? What do I mean?
Wasn't that the part where he said, like, oh, like, did he call him like stupid or something? Or
what are you doing?
Made fun of his head, didn't he?
He did something, but yeah, he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do I mean? I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, but it was really funny.
Good bits.
We got Dream Ninja 77 who says, okay, Denise, here's $2 for Jey being over AF. He was over. Super like over. You mentioned that entrance and he came in. And when Super you know the over. Part, it's just me, Ooze. I'm like, bro, it really is just you. Look at you have your moment.
It really is just you. Yeah.
It really is just you, Ooze.
Yo.
But no, for reals, that's how it felt. It was pretty cool to see, man. I was kind of, he was having the concert that like everybody wants to. It felt right. Really great. Mm-hmm. But there you go. I feel like, again, I don't think Damian Priest did anything bad. It just feels like, to me, it doesn't feel like the spotlight as him as champion hasn't been that strong. The light has been very, very dim.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely felt like, man, look what they've done to my boy. Like, Rollins did all of this to elevate that belt, and look what they got my belt doing, man. Like, come on, man. Move this thing on. All of those people that said that Rollins was a bad champion, tenure your apology.
Luckily for, like, I was looking at the matches they announced for, like, the King of the Ring tomorrow. I'm like, luckily Raw has some pretty strong men contenders to make that championship worth something. But at the moment, it's looking like, ooh.
Yeah,
those matches for the King of the Ring and a Queen of the Ring are looking really good. I mean, they got Ricochet and Ilya Dragunov happening. They got Sheamus and Gunther.
Them boys are gonna fight. weights really hard. Yeah, no, this is a good sign for that tournament that they're putting some prestige on it, because it feels like when they brought it back before, it's like here damn type thing of like, we'll just put the most random people in the company in there. But this is like, we got the real superstars that you guys want. Gunther is a heavy favorite for this, but he got some tough tests on the first round.
No, the matchups, they look really freaking good. But you know what else is really freaking good? Ladies and gentlemen, Helix.
When I'm traveling, the thing I miss the most is my bed. That's because I've got a Helix Sleep mattress. I worked with Helix Sleep before it ever became helixsleep.com/Fightful. During the pandemic, I needed a new mattress. My back was hurting. I was sleeping on a slab of memory foam. It was not working for me, but I didn't want to go to a mattress store. I wouldn't have wanted to even if it wasn't the pandemic at the time. But I looked up and found helixsleep.com/Fightful. And I found a ton of 5-star reviews. I found a ton of benefits. There are so many different options. There are options for people who sleep too warm, people that want their spine aligned, people who want just anything. And how do you find what you need from helixsleep.com/Fightful? You take an online questionnaire, and when you fill it out, they will find your preferences and match you up to the mattress that works for you. I got the Dusk Lux model. And right now, you can get 25% off any purchase for a limited time using the code FIGHTFUL. And you get 2 free dream pillows. I've had a lot of neck issues, and helixsleep.com/Fightful has really helped me out in this regard. It's been put over by Wired, GQ, Good Housekeeping, all kinds of people. Most importantly, Fightful. But they have over 30,000 5-star reviews. They have great flexible financing plans, and it comes straight to your door. If you don't like it, after 100 nights, they'll just come get it for you. What do you have to lose? Invest in your sleep. HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
All righty, and we are back. So the next match that I want to go ahead and dive into is the WWE Women's Championship match with Bayley defending her title against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. This was one that I'm just going to start by saying all of these women came in and absolutely delivered. Tiffany Stratton, who has the least amount of experience out of all of the girls here, went in there and not at one point did she ever look out of place. Phil, let's start with you. What did you think of this matchup?
I thought this was really good. I think it's at least my second favorite match on this card, which I expected to be really good. I thought Tiffany came in and looked great. Naomi, what an entrance. She ended up looking really, really great in this match. Bayley came away looking like a great champ. I thought it was great all around. I thought everybody looked great in their spots.
Reg, how'd you feel about it?
Yeah, really fun match. I knew going into this yesterday when we talked about it, I was like, this has a potential to be the sleeper match of the show, and it was exactly that. Tiffany Stratton has been put in so many big moments and positions and has knocked it out of the park every single time. Like you said, Denise, she never looks out of place. Every single time she's getting an opportunity, it's like, oh, she's world champion already. Like, she already gets everything. It's insane. Like, she looks calm in the moment. Like, she just looks like she's been here before. The Naomi entrance was crazy. Like, it's nerve-wracking, I'll tell you, as a Black person, when they do these overseas shows, because you never really know how they're going to react to any of the Black wrestlers, because the game is just like that. And to know that the Paris crowd was all for everybody presented and going crazy for Naomi, super dope. My girl Bayley, she needs more things like this. Just having great matches, coming off the great WrestleMania match and coming off a match like this and getting big wins, looking like a superstar. They loved her out there. I love her back as a babyface. I thought this match was insanely fun. They had some innovative spots. They did a 3D at one point. It's like, oh, no, they're turning up in here. Like, I love anytime Tiffany does, like, the moonsault counter type thing. She always counters into something really cool. I thought all these women, like, really went to work.
My favorite spot during this was when Tiffany and Naomi did like that cartwheel thing. And then she just like slams her onto the freaking commentary table. And then just when I think like, oh, she's done, she then goes and gets Bayley and does the exact same thing. Like that to me hit hard. I like that. You know, I feel like Tiffany Stratton is almost trying something new or different in all of her matches that she's been doing so far. And it's something that I've started to pick up on, that she is that kind of a talent that can see something, maybe practice it a bit. And then all of a sudden she's executing it in her matchups, and it makes her more, it just makes her more unique, and it really makes her stand out. But one of the things that you just mentioned just now was Bailey. Basically, you know, the crowd really being interested in Bailey, and the crowds always are. Aside from like the Cody stuff, the Rock stuff, and you know, those big moments that happened at WrestleMania, Bailey got one of the biggest reactions of the night when she defeated Io, which is so, when you think about like the how the crowds always love and respect Bailey, you would think that WWE would sort of maybe, you know, maybe highlight her as a
acknowledge
champion.
That.
Yes, yeah. Acknowledge that. Thank you.
Because it's crazy. It's like the things that Bailey does, the fanfare that she gets, everything that she represents, it doesn't feel like the company is matched up to that. It's like they give her title opportunities and put her in positions, but she's still not featured in posters. She's still not the most featured person like she should be. She fights for that women's division harder than almost anybody. All she cares about, like after today, she's like, we had a great match. That's all I care about. I don't care about my title reign. I don't care about any of that. I care that we went out there and killed it. And that's why she's so great. Let her be the champion forever. I don't care. It's Bay Area.
And I saw some people were upset, by the way, that Tiffany did not win. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, what? What now? No, this is not her time right now. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to be her time, but it just wasn't right now. And I want to see what creative things they come up to tell her story when she finally starts actually chasing the, you know, belt, aside from this match here, from this moment on, she is fully a part of that chase, you know?
Yeah, I think she'll be fine. She didn't need to win here. I mean, Bailey hasn't been champion that long, not even a whole month yet. Like, right. It's fine. Give her actual reign after this win. We don't have to rush into a Tiffany run. But yeah, I thought the 3D was a great callback. All of those people that have been like, man, why won't they just put her in the bloodline? And for her to throw out the 3D here, it almost felt like her saying, okay, we hear you guys. I'm not going to be in there, but here's a bone. Yeah, so I thought that was dope. It was a bunch of stuff in this match that I was like, man, they're really giving them time. They're really capitalizing on the time they're getting. Everybody in this came away looking good, in my opinion. I know people are not going to like the roll-up finish and Naomi doing the old Charlotte, like, oh, you got me this time, kid. But I was fine with it because it essentially seemed like they're trying to protect Naomi here.
Yes, I agree, because it feels like they can't, like, Naomi, they can't keep just making her be the person to take the pinfall all the time. Like, she's really grown a lot since she's returned to the company. And I like that it made it look like they were trying to protect her as well. And I didn't feel like that took away from Bailey at all as the champion. So I felt pretty good about the ending as well. We have Dream Ninja 77 here who says, man, does Europe love Bailey? Amazing. She just connects with people, man. She really does connect with people.
She's the best. She's wonderful. I see a lot of people saying that Tiffany's going to win the Money in the Bank, but you guys, we got a thing coming up called the Queen of the Ring. Who would be a great Queen of the Ring? Probably Tiffany Stratton. I don't know.
Just I prefer for her to win the Money in the Bank better.
Well, no, because the Money in the Bank ain't shit.
But at least she has an opportunity to cash in.
But what the...
What does she get with Queen of the Ring?
The money in the bank is such a garbage concept. Especially, it's just like recently, it doesn't represent
anything.
Dude,
you're no fun, Reg. Boo.
If she's the Queen of the Ring and they really put something behind that, that's a better way to build her to being the champion.
I mean, we just got a great cash in at WrestleMania. I wouldn't say that it's a bad concept. I just think that they've used it.
Reign, though. No, and coming up to that, it was people were like, this is the worst carry that anybody ever had.
But I think it ended up panning out because it was a good cash-in. But I think they've had so many bad cash-ins, I can see why people are down on the concept. But it's Money in the Bank. Like, I think she can do good things with it. Like, her, like, being the first woman to really customize the briefcase and, like, do something cool with it. I think there's stuff they can do, man.
Oh, my God. They're so going to do a Barbie briefcase. Are they not? Like, a Barbie, Barbie-themed?
Barbie in the Bank?
Barbie in the Bank, yeah. They're going to do it. It's going to be like pink and glittery. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to buy that Money in the Bank. I've been waiting to buy one of those briefcases so that I can use it for my makeup. I'm going to buy the pink one if they make one.
You don't have the senior Money in the Bank?
What happened?
You don't have the purple senior Money in the Bank one?
No. I haven't gotten any of them. None of them. If they make a pink one, I will buy it.
Wow. See, they're missing out on some money. They better get that in production.
For reals. For reals. All right. Well, we got a couple more super chats. And oh, all of a sudden, everybody wants to talk about Jey Uso and Damian Priest. All right. We got Apex Caliber here who says Damian Priest drops it to Drew at Clash at the Castle. So we get Drew versus Punk. What do you guys think of this?
I don't think that feud needs a belt, but I can see Drew being the next champion.
I like him getting that.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Man, at Clash at the Castle, but yeah, I kind of agree on the, I don't think the championship needs to be in that feud because they're already cooking without the championship and somebody else could be building that championship at that same time.
We got Rafael Garcia who says, I think the word you're looking for is uninspired. Yeah, it did. The finish was uninspired. This was literally, like you said, something we could have seen on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's like there's more creative things that you could do. They did more creative finishes on the show. Like what happened here?
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting one. This is from Jared, who says, kind of disagree with you all. I like the Damian Jey match and how Damian was present in the entrance and in the match sold for him for me as a champion. Sold him for me as a champion. So he felt that Damian Priest came out of this looking a lot stronger. Do you agree with that?
Not really. I think that the match was fine. I don't think that it was great. I think that it did what it was supposed to do to advance the Judgment Day stuff and give Jey a big moment on his card, but nothing really happened in the match that blew me away.
Right. If I look at the pay-per-view in totality and what they did in the main event, I'm like, well, that's what a championship match is supposed to look like. I'm like, that does, in comparison, it doesn't really hit, you know?
Well, I'll tell you something that definitely hits, and you want to know what that is, my friends? That is NordVPN.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Alrighty, this next match, I cannot wait to get into. And that is the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match, the Kabuki Warriors defending the title against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Now, we have some brand new champions in Bianca and Jade. I think this is what everybody and their mothers anticipated. I'm so happy that they are champions. However, I have some mixed feelings about this matchup. And I'm just going to be real. I thought that they started off very strongly. The match started off really good. I love seeing, Jade go in there and hit her springboard crossbody. She's in there, trying out some different things. Every now and then we see them do a little bit more with Jade, which is very fun to see. Some really great outside work with Asuka and Kairi, as well as Bianca on the outside. Loved everything they did there. Before the finish, though, there was probably like 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes or so of this match where I really felt like it was that moment that it was just Jade, Kairi, and Asuka, where I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong, but they looked completely lost. I was blown away by how not good that whole little portion of it was. And once... I don't know what happened. Finally, they got it together and the ending ended up being great. Loved the ending, but there was just that one little patch in this match that just stood out too much to me to say that I can't go out and say that I was blown away, only because that patch of that match took me out just a bit there.
The patch of that match.
Patch of the match.
Denise was trying so hard to be PC about this. It was great. Just watching her stumble through and then also like, but it's not that. I see what you're doing, Denise. Just come out and say it. Say what it was. No, I thought that.
What it was. There was a few minutes in there where they were lost and it was obvious. And I was like praying. I was like, please someone come in that knows what they're doing to figure out what the hell is supposed to happen next. Because they were lost and you can tell. And when you're watching and it's obvious and you're just there like, oh my God, are they gonna figure it out? Are they gonna figure it out? It makes you kind of nervous.
Totally. I'm totally just trolling you. People
Reg, now I feel the pressure here. Look, I'm turning red. I'm sweating.
When I went online to check about it, people are saying that the referee was actually part of the reason that things kind of broke down or something was happening. Because I got online and somebody was like, fire the referee. And I was like, what did the referee do? But yeah, people are saying like he was out of place or something, and that's why the disconnect happened. Like I was saying at the beginning of the show, this match would have looked a lot different without that crowd, because that crowd got like, they didn't care that stuff was breaking down. They were just like, we're at a fun show. We don't care. We just want to see the winners. This was, like I was saying yesterday on Grapsity, the first day that I ever saw Jade Cargill, I was like, oh, she's going to be champions with Bianca Belair one day. That's just like inevitable. And so this whole thing was inevitable. I don't know if I thought they were going to do it so quickly. What match is this for Jade officially?
I don't know, like her fifth, sixth, maybe. She had the Raw after Mania match, the WrestleMania match.
Four. Match four.
There you go.
Yeah, like her fourth, maybe four or five. Like for her to only have that many matches and they're already like the champion, here you go. And especially you guys like coming into this, the time that they spent between signing her and actually having her on screen and that dance that they did. It's like, wow, there's like a lot going on. But, you know, we're here now and she's a world champion with Bianca Belair and they look amazing. And I think that when they really get it together, they're going to be a great team.
Yeah, because you've been seeing more of that teamwork. And that's what I'm seeing. Like in the beginning of this match, you saw that confidence. Like I saw that confidence the second that Jade hit the springboard crossbody and she continued on. I'm like, all right, she's got this. There's been a good exchange. And then unfortunately, I don't know what went wrong. I don't know if it was the referee. I don't know if they got confused on a certain spot. I have no idea what went wrong during those couple moments there. But Phil, what'd you think?
I thought it was fine. I thought that the spots of the match that hit were good. There were spots where it seemed like there were like some miscommunications or something. That whole ref spot where he told Kairi that she was not the legal woman in the ring. And then for some reason, Asuka then grabbed the tag rope and tagged her in. I was like, that's not how that works, though. Like, I don't think you can do that. That's not the rule. And I was like, wait, the ref was like, you got to get out of the ring because you're illegal. But then he let them do that. I was like, what?
I guess that's why they were saying to fire him.
that part of the match was just very weird. I don't know what happened there. I don't know who messed up where the miscommunication was, but I was like, oh all right. But in usual Jay fashion, I think when she does the big move, she looks really good.
Finish.
the springboard splash, like you said, was really cool. The tag moves she was doing with Bianca that they've been doing at the live shows also looked good. Of course, that big transition she did into the Jaded looked clean. People pointed out right away, look, it's just what she did in the Sky Blue match. AEW fans, chill out. It's cool. It's cool. I know you guys are salty. Chill out. Like, it's fine. You can just be happy for her somewhere else, man. It's all right. but yeah, I thought it was fine. Again, it wasn't like the worst match I've ever seen. I think that's the problem sometimes where you're like, oh, this match didn't really hit for me. People are like, well, it wasn't that bad. It's like, it was cool. It was fine. I enjoyed it for what it was. I think the actual accolade of them winning is going to be the bigger thing than the actual match itself. And exactly. Them having that big moment in France is really cool.
Like I said, the patch of the match. Just the patch there. All right, we got some thoughts in here. Let's kick things off with Jana here, who says, women's tag title match got a little confusing, but I'm just glad all the women got time to wrestle their asses off tonight. They did get a good amount of time during that match up there. We got Broadway Joe here, who says, no hate. I keep getting told Kairi is a good wrestler, so why don't we ever see her wrestle good? Yeah. I don't think that Kairi has been bad.
I don't think she's been put in a scenario where she's looked great, but I don't think that makes her a bad wrestler. I think people sometimes are too quick to then turn it into, okay, well, she's just bad because this match wasn't good. Like, I know the Bianca match when she first came back, people were down on that one. But I don't think she's a bad wrestler. I think the Stardom run was good. I'm now seeing all these people in our chat saying that Triple H threw a shot at us. What does that mean? I don't know what that means, guys. But I don't think she's a bad wrestler. I just think she hasn't had like a really great match since she's been back with WWE.
Listen,
do you think it's just because she hasn't been the focus yet?
No, I was gonna say some people take the check and then they go and surf and then they're cruising at work, and that's what Kairi's doing.
You think? Because I didn't feel this like.
It feels like she came back and she's like, I'm about to work WWE style, and that ain't shit. That's just kicking it. And that's
so do you think like just her changing the style, her style has basically sort of worked against her?
Yes.
Yeah, in some ways, because you can see in some ways that she's slowing herself down. I think certain spots in the match she still looks good, like the strike exchange they had with Jade where they were like pelting her with those spinning back fists, and I think she looks solid there, but I just think in usual internet wrestling fandom discourse, when somebody has spots in a match or something that don't look good, it's like, oh, well, why do you guys think this person is good? It's like, I don't know. Sometimes people have their moments where, you know, they're not all going to hit, man. It's fine.
That particular moment that you're talking about there, I actually thought that Asuka, because she usually lays it in a lot harder on some of her other opponents. Like, I see her, like, go to town on people. And this time, I felt like she went easy on Jade. And I know this because this is my favorite thing that Asuka does, and I always pay extra attention to that. And when Kairi went and got her with the spinning back fist, like, oh, you heard that thing. I thought that Kairi actually, like, landed it a lot harder.
Oh, I see now. Breaking news, apparently the Triple H, via Triple H, sorry, Drew Gulak has not been released. And I think that's why they're saying that he took a shot at Fightful, because Fightful Select reported that Drew Gulak had been released. Drew Gulak has not been released.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I mean, that doesn't make sense, but for this context, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Okay. All right, well, there you go. Interesting that Triple H, did he tweet this?
No, during the press conference.
During the press conference. Okay, so he was asked about it. Okay, got it. Yeah. Got it. All right. Let's go ahead and continue on with some of these super chats that we got here. This is from Choi Pelek, who says, unfortunately, this match was a mess. You see what I'm saying? You see? I was nicer. I think Choi was a little bit more blunt.
Match of the match.
Wait. So to continue this, he wasn't released. His contract wasn't renewed.
Okay, so he don't
and work. So he's trying to hit us with a semantics thing. All right. Wait. All right, Trips, bro. Cool.
Okay, so
cool story, bro.
So Drew Gulak
is not with WWE. They just did not renew his contract. So he is basically saying that he wasn't released.
They just didn't renew his contract.
Okay. Sure.
There you go.
So sorry, bro.
More of a clarification. That's what it is. I don't think it's a shot to me. Well, I haven't heard the clip itself, but I'm taking it as a clarification.
Apparently he said that we're not credible and that Fightful Select is not credible. And then he tried to clarify and say that his contract was not renewed.
Did he say Fightful Select specifically, or he just said, did he say it specifically?
I think he said if you believe those news sources, then they're not credible or something like that. He didn't say Fightful.
all right, Trips, bro. Cool story, bro. So in essence, Drew Gulak is not there anymore.
That's it.
I swear, some of these things, guys, you just have to
We're cooked. Apparently, we're out of here. We're done.
All American rejects, move along. All right, we got Troy Polek here who says, unfortunately, this match was a mess. Oh, I already read that one. Sorry. Read that one twice. All right, Jared says, women's tag over-delivered, but that ref botch killed the momentum for a bit. It took a minute to get things back on track, and Kairi sold like a champ. So I guess people are seeing it differently. Like, I didn't know if it was the ref's fault or their fault. I had no idea. I was so confused with what was happening.
Yeah. It didn't really take me out of it. It was just kind of a strange moment where I was just like, what's happening here? I don't think that's the rules of a tag match, but we can get this back together, right? And they did. So
yeah, I thought that the finish was strong enough with Bianca doing the transition or with Jade doing the transition thing and Bianca hitting the big KOD that it made that part kind of non-existent for me.
We got Adrian Carpenter here who says this match was rough. Happy that Bianca and Jade won, but that was a rough one. Crowd saved the match. Yeah, commentary did really good too. On top of the crowd commentary, they shimmied it up.
Sounds like they're having fun, which is cool.
Yeah, they are. All right, well, get this. We got one more match to get into, and that is going to be Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. But before we get to that, we got to hear from our sponsor here, Bet Online.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
And before we get into Cody and AJ Styles, we do got a couple of super chats here that I want to read. This one's from Will Chisholm, who says, to be fair, Io had a great cash-in and a good title run. I think the cash-in was good. I don't know about the title run. I don't think they put enough emphasis of her as champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I think the cash-in was good, though.
Yeah, the cash-in was good. We also got Andreas Foshim, who says, sent in a very kind super chat. Didn't write a message, but thank you so much for sending that in. It's really appreciated. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the main event. And that main event was the Undisputed WWE Championship match, Cody Rhodes in his first defense against AJ Styles. And damn, did this people, they love AJ Styles, man. I don't know how many times they chanted that phenomenal, I don't even know how the song went, but they chanted the song. The crowd was 50-50 in the beginning of this too, cheering for Cody, cheering for AJ. This match went quite a bit. I don't know. It felt like, I'm going to say like maybe 30 something, maybe a little bit more than that. Cause it did go a little bit, but they kept the energy freaking high in this. Of course, Cody Rhodes, won with the Crossroads. What did you guys make of this match? Phil, we'll start with you.
I thought it was really good. I like AJ coming in with all the smoke of saying, man, I beat your daddy. These are the colors I wore when I beat him. I'm the first guy that won overseas. I've won before at Backlash. I'm going to beat you. And the match was really good. I thought they had good chemistry. I thought they got a lot of time, but they capitalized on the time they got well. AJ just casually pulling out a burning hammer at one point. That was great. Cody, at one point somebody was like criticizing Cody doing the Cody cutters. And I've watched this guy improve on that Cody cutter ever since then for the last year. And now it hits hard. That super Cody cutter he hit out of the corner was fire.
Timing, precision, all of it. It checked all of the boxes, man. That looked freaking awesome. I was like, I don't even know how he did it, but it looked freaking great. Reg, what'd you think of this match?
Cody Rhodes, you sick individual kicking out after one after a burning hammer. You son of a gun. I can't believe you would do this. This is just unbelievable work by these two. Coming into the show, it was like, I thought that they had good buildup. There was all this kind of talk on Cody and his reign. Really dumb talk. But I knew, like, AJ Styles, dude, all you have to do is put somebody in the ring with AJ Styles and you get it. And this felt like a classic AJ Styles match. Both these guys were going absolutely insane. AJ was, it felt like at moments the crowd was going so crazy for him. He's like, dude, I'm trying to be a heel. You guys stop. Leave me alone. I'm trying to be a mean bad guy. And they were just like, we love AJ Styles so much. We don't care. But I thought this was a great way for Cody to show, I'm out here to work, you guys. Y'all talk about hooping. I'm out here to hoop. And I thought that top rope Cody cutter looked really sick. He did a lot of really good Cody cutters, a lot of good counters in this. AJ Styles is one of the best ever. And on defense and on offense, you just can't get better. Great way for Cody to start with the crowd being so into him, the near falls, the crazy burning hammer. Only one crossroads to finish him. Thought this was a great main event.
Yeah, they delivered. Honestly, I feel like there's not much more to say other than that was a really good matchup there. But here's the thing, guys. We have some, I guess, sort of breaking news. It's official. WrestleMania 41 has officially been announced for Las Vegas. And get this, it's taking place on April 19th, as well as April 20th, which is
they're
known
trying
as
to kill me.
420.
Oh, they want me to die, Denise. What is this? Why are they having a show on 420? What is this?
In Las Vegas, bro.
Oh my God.
A 420 show in Las Vegas?
You guys, my dreams have come true. 420 wrestling show. All my friends are going to be there, and I'm going to be the highest I've ever been in my life.
This is the best
Suck
scenario.
It, Minnesota.
This is the best scenario for you because you're probably not planning on going to WrestleMania anyway. So you're probably going to be like somewhere like smoking. Like this is the best scenario for you. Like,
bravo, Reg.
Come Your on, you come guys. True. You know my friend Phil knows me because that's exactly what's
come on,
be going
you guys.
On. I'm gonna be come on, you guys. I'm gonna be so high somewhere. And again, suck it, Minnesota. You people that thought that like. What are we going to do in Minnesota, you guys?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen in Minnesota.
I would have felt the way if they picked the Midwest city and they were like Minnesota. I would have felt the way. Like, what is this, bro? Like, there's nothing to do in Minnesota, man. Like, your football team sucks. There's nothing interesting about Minnesota. Whoa, it's probably going to be cold. Like, come on.
Shots. It's going to be hot as hell at 420 in Vegas. Woo. Get your shorts, you guys.
Oh my God. Now I only have one story that happened to me in Minnesota. And it was when I went for one of the AEW shows, forgot which one, but I was there and it was really, really cold. Like it was snowing. It was very, very cold. So I was waiting in a hotel it was super late at night. I was waiting for my Uber to come pick me up and I was freezing and I was just standing in the same spot waiting for my ride to pick me up. And there was some drunk guys that were just like being super obnoxious, right? So they come up to me and they're like, you know, starting to talk to me. And I was like, oh no. And they were local, by the way. They were local because they were
Minnesota.
Talking
about Minnesota.
They were like, oh, because they saw that I was, wearing a ring. And they asked me like, oh, like you're married. And I was like, yeah, I'm married. And then they asked me like where I was from. And I said, oh, I'm from Los Angeles. And their follow-up question was, oh, since you're from Los Angeles, are you married to a man or to a woman?
What?
I'm not kidding you. That's what they said. And I was like,
There are no lesbians anywhere in Minnesota.
That's so weird.
And then because I'm shy and weird and awkward, I was like, a man?
A man?
A man?
I was like, what the hell? But I was like, I should have lied and just like spiced up their world, man. Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell? Like his assumption was like, oh, she's from Los Angeles. I don't know. What is going on in Minnesota? And that's when I realized it. I was like,
That's a wild exchange. You just come back like, yeah, a woman, baby, yeah.
Yeah, what's up? We out here. What you want from me?
Yeah. You know what I like.
You know what it is. LA, baby.
I was going to say, are we allowed to do that on the air, Phil?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Probably got to censor that.
I'm going to get a text from Sean right now and be like, so.
What were you guys doing on this live show?
Triple H buried you guys, and then you guys just got all weird.
Here we go. We officially got the, here it is, the WWE just sent out the press release, by the way, for WrestleMania. Here's the logo, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pretty sure right that's already everywhere.
She's a WWE shill. Like, the email went right. Like, actually, Triple H texted it to her on air right now.
Yeah, direct from Triple H was like, hey, Denise, what's up? Here it is. Just so you know, 420. Tell your homie Reg.
420. Tell your friend.
420.
Tell your friend Reg. He's invited. It's hilarious. Hey, you know that one guy on your show? Tell him he's invited. That guy that wears the beanies, we'll provide him with some smokes.
He's high right now. Yeah. He's going to get you a green beanie.
Listen, I'll pull up double Triple H.
Wait, you double Triple H?
Double Triple H. Triple double OG.
Oh, man. I'm starting to wonder about you, Reg. What's going on here? All right. We got some super chats coming in here. First of all, I should probably read the first ones that are about Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. Sorry, all over the place right now. But here we go. This is from Luis Polito. Oh, wait. He sent that as a test. Will Chisholm says, we now know Cody told Michael Cole to call him a Bullet Club leader. You think he told that to him?
I don't know. It's just such a technicality because, yes, he won the Ring of Honor match that technically made him leader, but he was never acknowledged as leader. Kenny was still leader in Japan. Mm-hmm. It was not canon, in my opinion.
Sheldon Jackson sends in a very generous super chat saying, fun fact, October 1st, 2003, AJ Styles versus Dusty Rhodes for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Today, AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE title. AJ has now faced father and son for world titles. Yeah, this is something that, like, the second this match was announced was a really cool fun fact to know, especially when you think about it, like 2003 and then fast forward to 2024. That's nuts, man.
That's wild.
Freaking nuts. I love it. All right, we got some more super chats in here. And this one is from RJA, who says it's also Easter weekend. Oh, for WrestleMania.
Oh, so he's going to be resurrected too.
Oh, I got it. An Easter egg hunt, but with weed.
Yes. All right. Yes, no, that makes sense because you're going to have to resurrect me that morning because I'm going to be so high from all the weed. Resurrect him, just like at the end of Wally Mania.
Oh, man, we got Ronnie.
He's going to come out the room like that with his arms stretched out. He lives.
Denise on one side, Phil on one side. Carry
Why
me.
Do I got to be there, man? Carry I don't want to be part home. Of this.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
We're going to get canceled after this podcast. Stop, man. Sean's never going to let us do Grapsado ever again.
Carry on my wayward son, Righteous Reg. That's him.
We're going to see Reg levitating over Las Vegas Boulevard.
Like that one time The Undertaker died in Royal Rumble 1994. It's just me, my high body, over the streets, over the strip. It's just dead Reg. What happened there? I don't know. I just like, we just started going. Maybe we should just like move forward. I don't know.
It's gone.
420 Las Vegas, man. People are ready. Oh, man. We got Ronan Mike Clips who's here who says, let's hotbox Allegiant Stadium. I actually really hate Allegiant Stadium. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I went to Allegiant Stadium for SummerSlam. So if you guys, do you guys remember? Everything that was going on, did you read it on social media?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
The internet in the building stopped working, and so they weren't able to ring people up for food for the cash registers.
Right.
The bathroom stopped working.
How did the bathroom stop working?
They just
the plumbing wasn't working?
A lot of the bathrooms weren't working.
With the gazillion people in there?
Yeah, this was Allegiant Stadium for SummerSlam. Like, this was all over the place. Like, I remember it was on social media, and I got very lucky because I was in the press box, so I had, like, a personal bathroom, the personal press box bathroom.
Chilling.
But, like, there was issues with, like, the regular bathrooms. You guys don't remember this?
Denise, right. I wasn't there.
The peasants were out there. Their bathrooms didn't work where I was, where the big dogs hang out. The
no.
bathrooms were luxurious. They had bidets. It was all kind of
sensor. But get this, though. The sensor in the bathroom didn't work, though. You know when you go in and they save energy so it's dark, and if no one's in there, it's the lights are off. So you got to be in there waving your hands and shit, and you're trying to find the bathroom waving your hands so the lights will turn on.
Yo, no. Picturing you being in there like doing it, it's just me, you trying to get it to come on.
It's just me, oops.
On the toilet.
But anyways, Allegiant Stadium is crazy. And then when everybody comes out, it is just like a sea of people. It is so crazy because it's a lot more condensed, you know, because it's Vegas. It's more condensed. But anyways, I'm not a big fan of Allegiant Stadium. I'll be real with you. I'm
not a fan of my football team and baseball team.
Get your stuff together, Allegiant. If that's the takeaway from this, get your stuff together by April next year, man. You got a whole year. Get it together.
All right. We got some more super chats to get into. This one's from Adrian Carpenter. Did I already read this one? He said this match was rough. Happy that Bianca and Jade won, but that was a rough crowd saved the match. I think I read that one already, actually. My apologies. We got Ryan Lambert who says, instead of the Taker going gong, the Reg bong at WrestleMania.
Bong.
Bong. Yes.
All right, we got Bagarv here who says Reds needs to drop the Triple H and Fed diss track on behalf on Fightful. Right now, y'all are dope. Happy Grab Sato Saturday. Come on, Reg. You got to get them bars out there.
It's your time, man. I feel like this year has been leading to this, man. All the other rap beef that's out there, all these other podcasts, it's your moment.
Maybe.
Nah, Broadway man. Joe says... Time to drop corporate officer to Reg.
Watch out, big dog. I'm coming for you. Man.
But starting the diss track with the clip of you, Vince, you done it good. Jumping into the verse.
Look, this is gonna work. Okay. Look, y'all getting my ideas.
I was gonna mention another idea, but I don't feel like getting canceled. But hey, you can throw in Will Ospreay's little quote that he gave in, put in at the beginning, put a little remix, and then go off from there.
Well, Denise is producing too. I see what y'all are doing. Y'all are both putting your stuff in. Okay.
See, you got a diss track ready. All right, we got Delayed Grats here who says Triple H fired first. Reg needs to get in that booth and get cooking on back-to-back diss track. McMahon family members dropping soon.
Y'all are so funny, man.
Hilarious.
We got Andreas Foshank. Oh, sorry, Phil.
No, I was just gonna say, man, we're back at this crossroads. Either we're not credible or we're shills, man. Come on, which is it?
It can't be both.
It can be both.
It can
be both. It's always both.
Be credible shills. Oh, I'm just making shit up now.
All right. What?
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Don't even listen to me. All right. Oh, this one's hard. All right. We got Andreas Foshim who says, say my name again, Denise. First time, big fail. How do you say it? It's Foshim. Foshim. No? No one knows.
Hey, Dave. Why didn't you tell her how to pronounce it, man? What are you doing?
All right, Andreas, I promise you send it in phonetically and I will learn it. All right, we got Darian Pittman here who says the Dream Team is live and in full effect. That crowd tonight was special. Kendrick put old boy in a spliff and pack him up. Great Saturday. Bless you guys.
Appreciate y'all for showing up on Saturday. That's a lot of y'all here.
All righty. Damn. I think that's all we've got. We covered pretty much everything. Backlash, WrestleMania, hell, even Kendrick and Drake. Any additional things that anybody wants to add while we're here before we say our goodbyes? This is now your time. No, we don't got nothing. All right. Reg is already dreaming about 420 Las Vegas. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed... I hope you enjoyed what was Grap Sado here today. Before we go, Phil, we'll kick it off with you. Plug whatever you want to plug.
You can watch Grapsody every Saturday at noon, usually. If you are wondering why we did not record today, it's because of backlash. But we did record yesterday. So if you look on YouTube's Fightful's YouTube channel, you can find this week's episode. And if you tweet me and tell me you can't find the episode, I'm just going to laugh at you for not being able to use the internet and link it for you.
Reg, what do you got going on?
I'm on that same show. Same thing he said there. Every Wednesday, you could find me with the other person on this show talking AEW Dynamite. The Post Show with Denise. Also, I'm on with Mike Indeed every Wednesday. And righteousreg.bandcamp.com. You guys, please go stream my new record. I appreciate y'all. Y'all are dope.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us here on this lovely Saturday. Hopefully we don't get canceled after this show. So tell Sean that you guys love Grap Sato, all right? Don't let us get canceled here. All right, guys. No, seriously, thank you guys so much. It was a really good time. As for me, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Please do not forget to check out Fightful Select and Fightful.com, as well as here. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Au revoir.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.